Hello, my name is Fran. Welcome to the Heal Into Your Awakening podcast. How have y'all been? It's been a few weeks. I know. My bad. But yeah, life was life-in and I was fighting for my life. Whoo, y'all. I'm glad that I'm able to laugh at my circumstances. I mean, I'm probably being dramatic, but I had a few hiccups along the way, and I need to learn to not stop when things are not going in a way that I prefer it to. But I'm one of those people that when life starts to life, I just freeze. And that is what happened a few weeks ago. I will share some of that with you guys next week, next episode, because I feel like it's important. And hopefully it inspires someone who might be experiencing the same thing, or if someone is, if they can't take anything from it, I hope I at least take some level of validation that I hear you. We're all experiencing life at the same time, and some of us, our experiences literally mirror each other. So I got y'all next week. But today I kind of wanted to fulfill a promise that I made. I was talking to one of my listeners a few weeks ago, and we're talking about dating. And she was like, you should make an updated version of Dating from an Awakened State, especially based off of the conversation that we were having. And I thought about it and I was like, you know what? If one thing I'm great at is, you know, sharing great dating advice, I think. not to toot my own horn, but I'm the go-to person that my friends reach out to when they have difficulties when it comes to their romantic relationships. And I tend to have really good advice. So, you know, it's always do as I say, not do as I do, because, you know, let me stop. But yeah, shall we begin? So, my viewpoint has changed drastically since I discovered the law of assumption. And so I consider myself a healer. And my method of healing is to inspire others to heal themselves, because I don't believe that anyone can force someone to heal. I have been blessed with the opportunity to be emotional. And I have been blessed with the opportunity to feel those emotions and gather wisdom from them. And as a life of number six, I enjoy helping others. I enjoy being in service. So I'm very intentional about being a vessel for love, for healing, for change. I'm not perfect, but my intention is to always assist. Now that I've said that, the law of assumption is not necessarily everyone's cup of tea. The law of attraction is also not necessarily everyone's cup of tea. Prayer might be your cup of tea. But even in prayer, they say faith. When you pray about something, have faith, right? I hear so often, dating is ghetto. Dating is horrible. The dating pool is real murky. And if you are someone who have been saying that as a spiritual person, please stop. Because life is happening through you, not to you. Life is happening from the filter of your experiences. Life is happening based off of what you believe and the lessons that you're here to learn as well, right? So it is very important to not continuously have the belief that is negative, because the pathway to your experience is going to be tainted by those beliefs. So I would like to give that disclaimer. I hear it all the time. I even say it sometimes and I catch myself and I'm like, Fran, just stop. Also, believe this or not, that's just my opinion, but every relationship that we have in a way serves as a mirror to the relationship that we have with ourselves. If you're constantly experiencing a particular pattern it is so important to dive deep and see why that is showing up. People are third parties in our experience. People are messengers, and they help us literally deliver, whether it's a hard message, an easy one, to ourselves. And it's difficult. But the moment I started to see relationships like that, I see my life as that, I stopped making people villains in my story. And I started to, I might not mess with you no more, but I release you in a way that sets both of us free. Oftentimes, I feel like energetically we're attached to so many people and not the lesson we learn from them. We're attached to, and then we start to make assumptions about them or how they are or who they are based on the fact that we are still energetically aligned. And my last romantic experience kind of allowed me to experience that even more. And the moment I did, and that's when I made that episode, Scratch the Ruin of Our Surface, the moment I realized that this person just opened me up to a wound that needed healing, and they were only used as a vessel for me to face that fear. It was easier for me to let them go. And since I've let them go, I don't feel energetically tied to them. I don't really care what and how I wish them well. But I'm still stuck with that lesson. I do have some fears with it. And to be vulnerable, one of that fears is, am I picking people correctly? Am I picking people for my wounds? Am I picking people for my healed part? But that is, again, that is the relationship I have with myself. That is me versus me. That has nothing to do with the other person. So I say all of this to say that our romantic relationship is you first, right? Every relationship, anyone, but since we're basing it off of romance, it's you first before anyone else. You have that. You are the core, right? What you think, how you think, how you treat yourself, how you see yourself, will reference how that person relates to you. And I know it's a hard pill to swallow. Like, oh, I didn't bring this person in my life. I didn't bring that person in my life. And I know it gets so deep, much deeper than that. But the basis of it is understanding that these people are third party in our experiences. So that is going to lead me to what I feel like is the most important factor when it comes to dating. And for me, I would say it's self-discovery, self-understanding, knowing yourself, taking the time to know yourself. So a quick backstory. When I was dating, and I had two very serious relationships, two of those relationships lasted 6 years each, and it didn't work out. The first one was cool. The second one was even worse than the first one. And then I decided to just go on a dating spree, and every single experience that I was having left me feeling very similar to what the first, second, third, and every single one of them. And I remember I had this friend of mine at that time who had said, maybe you should just be celibate. Maybe you should just, and I got so upset with her. And I said, listen, I was so isolated in my last relationship that I feel like I'm in a position to, I can date. You know, at this point I had not begun my healing journey. I had some level of self-awareness, but based on what I know now compared to then, none. You know, I wouldn't even count that. And I had to reach rock bottom in order to then decide to focus on myself. And as I started to focus on myself, I started to see how I attracted those people. I'm not saying that I'm 100% healed, but I have awareness now. So when I'm in a situation that is replicating a feeling that I no longer want to feel, but I'm familiar with, I remove myself from it. And it further validates that understanding that the relationship I have with others first begins with the relationship I have with myself. These feelings that someone might evoke is very similar to the feelings that I've had since I was a kid. So is this circle, is this repetitive circle, is this experience, it's me continuously trying to change the past, right? So self-discovery, knowing yourself. If you haven't taken the time to learn yourself, and if you can, stop dating. So just focus on you. When I say stop dating, stop talking to people, stop entertaining. Just focus on you. Learn yourself. Take yourself out. Write letters to yourself. Do meditate. Have mirror work. Connect with your inner child. See what you want. See what it is that sets the tone for the right partnership. I always say that for me, I don't know what the right partner looks like. I know what I want to feel like. I know what the right partner feels for me. And it is safety. It is, I'm a very controlling person. Not that I try to control other people. I try to control myself often. And it's exhausting. And if I'm in a relationship where, or I'm in a partnership where I'm constantly trying to control my movements with them, like, oh, don't do this, don't do this. And I know automatically that I've been triggered. They've triggered something in me. Or maybe I'm triggering something in me and I work on that. But I'm aware of it now because I have taken the time to know myself time and time and time again. I did 2 years of celibacy. And during that time, I dated myself. During that time, I did a whole bunch of everything spiritually. And it did something for me. It allowed me to see myself. It did not create too much of an emotional intelligence. It definitely created awareness. So I say that to say that self-discovery, right, is going to help you. It's going to only take you so far, though. Applying what you know is where the juice is at. Another thing that I have noticed in our community being a spiritual community, is we are so fixated on spiritual connections. We are so fixated on attracting our twin flames. Now, you might not agree with me. I do not. It has never resonated with my spirit, that the idea of twin flames. I don't believe in it. I don't care for it. I do believe in soulmates. I do believe in multiple soulmates. I do believe that we attract people based on our level of awareness and where we are in our purpose and what we need to do. But there is this fixation with twin flames. And I find that us spiritual women or men tend to ignore a lot of red flags simply because we feel like we are spiritually aligned with someone. I think that is very harmful in the long run. I was one of those people too. So yeah, I'm sharing a lot, but sure, let's do it. But years ago, I was told that I was going to meet someone and we're going to have this spiritual connection. And it was just so much that was said about them. And I literally lived a good portion of my life waiting for that person, writing letters, doing things, and just expecting them, right? At that point in my life, I had awareness. I wasn't applying much. I was just waiting for God and my ancestors and spirit to bring this person my way. And this person was then going, because of spiritual connection, this person was then going to kiss my wounds and make it better. And now when I think of it, I used to get so frustrated at the fact that every year was passing. Months, days, hours were passing, and I looked for that person in almost everyone that I met. And it sucked. It sucked because it was such a disempowering time of my life, and it sucked the life out of me. Meeting people, ignoring how they're showing up to me, simply because I felt like this is the divine partner that I was told is going to come and love me. And I'm saying that if you find yourself in a position like that, again, I'm not anyone to tell you that your experience is not your experience. I'm saying that when you start with that self-discovery and you know who you are, look for the things that you look for in that partner and see if it is in that person. If they're not in it, send them away. Be like, listen, this ain't ripe enough yet. Come back when you're ready. But because I'm always going to go back to this relationship you have with yourself, there's different versions of you in you. And for me, the one that mostly affects me and my decisions is my inner child. That little girl went through so much in life, so much trauma. The teenage version of myself, the extension of my inner child, also experienced so much. I'm 34 years old. Those versions of myself look forward to being me right now. And I am obligated and I am responsible to make sure that they're okay. So I can find myself shifting, but I get back up because I have an obligation to myself. To the little girl that wasn't loved, that was neglected, and I'm experiencing someone who is also making me question my worth. When I am doing so much work, I've been on this journey since 2017. I've done so much work only for this quote-unquote spiritual connection to make me question myself. No. So if you even came across this episode, you are in a position of doing, of healing. And I want you to think about all the work you're doing for yourself. Does the person in your life that you feel like is your twin flame or your soulmate, are they reflecting healing and love in a way that you want your partner to? And they're not, send them back. If they're supposed to be for you, they will come back. But you, the relationship, the core of it, starts with you. How you experience this, how you treat yourself in this experience, is going to reflect how not only this particular story goes, how the next person even comes. And yeah, that's one of my biggest fear of attracting someone, of painfully letting them go, or they letting me go because, you know, I don't know how it's going to happen, but then attracting the same energy again and again and again. Because I have not allowed myself to learn the lesson. I don't like suffering. I don't like pain, especially emotional pain. I can tolerate a couple of pains, but that heartbreak that comes from the lack of control when you love someone who wouldn't love you back, or you want someone so bad and they're not reciprocating that. I don't enjoy it. Because I'm aware of it, I make sure I do the work and I pray that I don't attract that person again. Because it is not that person, it is that fear that attracts that person. And I want to face it and learn it and deal with it and soothe the version of me that created that fear before I meet the next person. So, I know that I am suggesting you let somebody go and it's hard. Or you be alone for a little bit and that is hard. But these were things that used to trigger the crap out of me when I heard other healers say it. Because I was afraid of being by myself. I was afraid of being alone. And that is another thing, right? If you want to be loved, if you want someone to spend time with you, but you're afraid of spending time with yourself, and deep down you know you don't fully love yourself, how do you expect another person to? If you don't know what makes you you, the beautiful parts of you, forget what society tells you you're supposed to look like or act like or how much money you're supposed to get. What are your gifts? Who are you? What do you enjoy? When you start to understand that and find pleasure in just being you. When someone comes in your life and does not want to be with you, or they're not doing what you need them to do in order to, you're going to be like, you know what, we're all set. And you can take that time to enjoy being with you. I love community. I love love. I enjoy partnership. However, if I feel like I'm not attracting it at that moment, I'd rather be by myself than to be in a situation or be surrounded by people that do not reflect the version of me that I desire to be or I enjoy being. And I hated to hear that, man. When my friend told me, hey, girl, maybe you should be celibate. Listen, I almost cussed her out. I was so upset and I was so snappy with her because there was some truth to it. But I did not want to be by myself. Like, what am I going to do? So it is important to be honest. Honest with yourself. Now, let's talk about the fun part. You know, there's so many gurus out there that tell us to manifest, right? We are drinking moon water. We are putting crystals in our ears and our eyes and doing all this stuff to just manifest these people or this love. And if I go into self-discovery, right? If we go back into self-discovery. When you learn yourself, it is so important to make yourself the main character in your story. And I struggle with that because I'm a recovering people pleaser. I have struggled in the past with codependency. I'm not claiming that no more. But I still struggle with being the main character. As a life path number 6, I enjoy being in service. And being in service, also as a Cancer moon, as a Cancer rising, I'm an empath. I tend to feel others so much that they take a higher place in my life. And because I do that, it's a recipe for disaster. It is counterproductive when it comes to being the main character in your story. And because, you know, it's energy, right? It's a yin and yang. That's how it flows. One person, if you're not the main character, one person is going to be. If you're in a relationship, you're not the higher one, one person is going to be. It eventually becomes equal. But when initial attraction, who's going to take the dominating? Who's going to be the one who, not call the shots. I hate to call it that. But in your life, you should be the one calling your shots. When you meet someone, yeah, you can see how wonderful someone is. You're human. You should, you know, want a person on a pedestal. Put yourself on a pedestal and see if they're worthy of you. See how they align with your purpose. How they align with the life you're creating for yourself. How do they look in alignment with these characteristics you want? What are your negotiables? What are your non-negotiables? What's happening there? Do they have the lifestyle that you have, right? So for me, I am a very spiritual person. Could not be with someone who was non-spiritual or religious. Doesn't work for me. I want somebody who nourishes their vessel. That is mentally, spiritually, emotionally. These are my non-negotiables. I want someone who is ambitious. I want someone who enjoys laughing, enjoys self-development. These are my non-negotiables. How they look, what they do, I'm not concerned about that yet. So when you're getting, because this is who I am, I'm not saying I'm like that all the time, but this is who I aspire to be like. When I'm with this person, are we going to grow? Is there a space to grow? I go to therapy every 2 weeks. How do they feel about that? How do they feel about their mental health? How do they feel about healing? I'm just giving you examples of how I operate. How do you operate? Since you now have taken the time to discover yourself for the most part, know who you are, what you're about, how does this person reflect that? I know this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman that is thriving in her career, thriving in her personal life. And then she brought this man in her life that didn't love himself and would say, you're too good for me. Or would try to take things from her, or would just, was just a menace to his own self. And which then reflected to her. And I saw how much he drained her. And she knew that he drained her, but at this time she felt like she loved him. She wanted to help fix him. She wanted to change him. And by the time she realized she couldn't, she loved him. So he kept coming in and out, and it was harder to break. It's doable. But before we even get to that point, if you believe that your life is abundant, right? There's so many people in this world. Why do you think, and if you believe that the universe, God, however you refer to source or the higher power, blesses you, why do you think that you won't be blessed with the right partner? Why would you pick up something that doesn't work for you when you believe, right, at your core that there is an abundance of everything for you? And if you don't, start to affirm that you do. I'm abundant in so many ways. I'm worthy. You know what? I stopped saying the word I'm worthy of love. I say I'm entitled to love. It is my birthright to experience life as I want it. And because it is my birthright to experience life as I want it, it is my birthright. I am entitled to my divine partner. And if I meet someone who doesn't reflect the characteristics of that partner, I let you go find the right person for you. I release myself energetically for you so that I'm open to that right person. That is how an awakened person operate in romantic partnerships. It is not laying in bed with your pillow and your name under your pillow, trying to manifest, yeah, come please, and drinking rainwater and standing under full moons to manifest someone that isn't showing up in the right way for you. As someone who believes in the law of assumption, I believe in creating my reality. I also believe in letting you go until I manifest you in a way that I want. So if you feel like this person is showing up exactly how you want, and if you want to manifest them, go ahead, by all means. But let them go. Be them. In order for you to keep your mind right, in order for you, if you had a precious jewel, if you were as precious as you say you are you going to rub mud around you simply because the mud is going to, no, you don't. You treat yourself with high regard. And again, I'm not saying that let people go and forget about them. If you really feel attached to this person, you could manifest them. But let them go. Be you. Be free. Be at ease. And have them come to you in a way that is befitting for who you are. And now, I will talk about manifesting the right partner, right? So, I have this thing, and I'm working on it. I become very resentful if I'm dealing with someone and then I have to script about them or affirm that they feel like this towards me because they're already not showing up. I don't like it. I think it's just my ego. But that's something that can be done, right? If you're with someone and you feel like they are great potential and you don't want to let them go. I know I'm contradicting myself low-key based on what I said earlier, but I'm going to be as fair as I can, right? See everything from perspective. You could. Again, you are the main character. You are open power of your reality. You get to choose who goes and stays. And you get to choose how they operate, right? If you find yourself wanting to attract, for me, I script all day about love. I say I have a very fulfilling love life. I attract people who are authentic and kind and all the characteristics that I want. I am always chosen. I'm entitled to love. I have a blanket affirmation for love, not specifically towards a person. But if you have a specific person that you want, it can be done. Simi Ingram is amazing. Kim Velez is wonderful. What's her name? His name. Jillian James, amazing. There's this guy that I love recently. He's on TikTok. Goldet something. I love him. I think he's great. He's super funny. But there are people that you can follow and learn. But all of those people are going to talk about, again, that self-discovery and that self-concept. When you discover yourself and you see the things that are holding you back from creating that love, you can be able to work on it. And when you find that you are afraid of abandonment, you can work that I'm always chosen. I'm always prioritized. Whether you believe your affirmations or not, the more you say it, the more it's going to show up. Again, quantum physics, I don't know the, I don't want to, you can Google it, you know, Google the love assumption, Google quantum physics and how these things work. It is proven, proven, proven. You can attract a particular person. You can attract love into your life. Give yourself grace, give yourself time, but most importantly, create a better relationship with yourself. Focus on yourself. And yeah, I think I'm going to stop here for the most part. I might think about more stuff to add to this and maybe create another episode. But yeah, this was the gist of the conversation that I had with, I call her my sister. I appreciate everyone who takes their time to reach out to me and tell me about the podcast and how it's affecting their lives. I feel so fulfilled when I receive messages like that. I can be reached at healintoyourawakening@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, Healing to Your Awakening. I'm looking forward to, I'm manifesting growing my platform a little bit more. I'm manifesting discipline. I am manifesting me having the courage to put myself out there and to be as vulnerable and dive into the strength that I get from being vulnerable. So yeah, I'm going to end here. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you guys for sticking with your girl. And I look forward to talking to y'all next week. I'm a try. Alrighty, bye.